Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you tonight with the word of the Lord, saying, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, and listen very carefully to what he's saying to you. We start off by saying, behold your God. We want to thank Dr. Derek David Kuhn for opening up the airwaves with that and speaking to us in such a strong prophetic voice. Behold your God. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Speaking that word into the atmosphere, speaking it to you, speaking it to all of us around us. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. And I love the last part when he says, behold, he will speak peace to his people. And so we speak peace tonight in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, and our King, who's able to make all grace abound toward us so we can have all sufficiency for all things in every good work. It's a wonderful evening here in the city of Whitewater, Wisconsin. Cold, cold, cold. But really, we are in the place where God has planted us. We're in the place where God wants us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And wherever you are, you have been planted for a purpose in a particular place, and you want to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, because where you are planted for the purpose for which God has planted you there, you're planted there to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might to fulfill the purpose for which you are planted in the place you're planted. We thank God tonight for the wonders of his mercy and his grace. We thank him for his truths. We thank him that he has looked beyond our faults and seen our needs. And we know that he is standing, waiting for us to come unto him. As it is written, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and I'll give you rest to your soul. And so tonight we're going to open up with Dr. David Kuhn singing for us again, Sweet Anointing, because I really want the sweet anointing to be upon this word tonight, because it's a call from heaven, and God is saying, I am calling you up higher. We are speaking tonight that the kingdom is at hand. Repent and follow Jesus. So let's hear from Dr. Derek David Kuhn with Sweet Anointing tonight.
Sweet anointing,
fill us now, Spirit.
set us free. Here we stand. Fill us now, Spirit of God. Sweet anointing of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
Fall on us, set us free.
To proclaim liberty, to open prison doors. Oh, he was anointed to heal the sick. We desire to be anointed with fresh oil. Sweet anointing, precious is the anointing.
Sweet anointing of the Lord. Fall on us, set us free. Here we stand, our hearts cry out. Fill us now, Spirit of God.
Here we stand, our hearts cry out. Fill us now, Spirit of God. I want to open with that prayer tonight, Lord, because as we come together across the miles and over the airwaves, we come in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, and our King, who's able to make all grace abound toward us that we can have all sufficiency for all things and every good work. And we stand now with our hearts crying out. We need you to open that just our heart, but open our ears that we can hear, open our eyes that we can see in the distance, that we can see far ahead where man need to see what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in the heavens, because we are looking unto Jesus now to lead us and guide us, for some of us and for many, to guide us out of this dark place, to guide us to his light, to take us by the hand and walk us through. And so tonight, Lord, we need you. We need you to bless us. We need you to bless us in a way that we haven't been blessed. We need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church. And we really need you to let us hear and listen very carefully what to do with it, because we need to hear what we as individuals must do to do what you are calling us to do, so that you can come and fulfill your divine purpose and your eternal purpose in the earth. And we thank you in the name of Jesus, who's able to make all grace abound now that we can hear as he wants us to hear. Well, saints of the living God, we're walking through the book of Matthew, and I am telling you, as I go through this book, every time I think I am at a place where we can move rapidly to another chapter, the Lord stops, and he said, I want you to go back and see. I have been saying this over and over again, that in the book of Matthew, and even before the book of Matthew, I started the book of Matthew, it is almost like Jesus is now boots on the ground to us, and he comes in. This may not be a very nice Christian word, but he's like in our face, and he is saying, I need you to hear me because I am speaking directly to you. I'm not speaking to the masses, although I'm speaking it to my church. I'm going to say something to you for you to know what I'm expecting of you. And so it's easy to receive a message in the masses. It's easy, as the crowds are hearing the same message, it's easy to receive that. But what happens when Jesus comes to you, knocks on your door, and comes in to visit you and said, I have a message for you. This is what I want you to hear. And I think that's what the book of Matthew is like to us. And so I was always ready to move to chapter 8, and we're going to look at chapter 8 tonight. But I want to mention something that the Lord pointed out to me. Maybe we should think of this as boots on the ground for us. I went back to look at how the Spirit of the Lord led us in this book. And we see in chapter 1 that he came to earth as a babe in chapter 1 when he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And so he made an entree into the earth at that time. He was not yet boots on the ground to us. And then we moved on into chapter 3, and we see him showing up in chapter 3. If you just take a quick moment to go there, I'm not going to stay there long. In chapter 3, verse 13, it says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized unto him. Now, what happened, John had led us all the way to this place talking about Jesus coming, and he was coming to baptize with the water unto baptized with the fire and the Holy Ghost, and he was bringing the message and opening the way for him to come. Now listen, saints, I'm going someplace tonight, so I want you to stay with me. I'm going to move rapidly, but I want you to stay with me, because what I want you to follow me on this journey as we see how Jesus is for us and can be for us and to us boots on the ground. And so John opened the way for him to come. I'm coming back there. Then we see in John 3, verse number 13, Matthew 3, verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And so we see that story from 13 down to 17, and I'll say 18, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I will please. And I think right there we see the Lord taking another step into the earth, because right after that, he's kind of hidden by God while he fights with Satan. But he's in the earth now, and he's in the earth to conquer. And the first thing he had to conquer was Satan himself. And that should make us glad. As saints of the living God, Jesus fought and with the Word of God and conquered Satan through telling him who he was and what he could not do. And then, of course, we see him now putting boots on the ground again, and 4, verse number 12, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed unto Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the border of Zebulun and Naphtali, and that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of Galilee, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I think it's right here that he speaks to us very clearly, boots on the ground in our face. He's not just coming in, speaking generally, but we see him face to face. And so right after that, we see him calling the first four disciples, and we see him saying, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I think we should be so glad in our heart that we have, those of us that have given our heart to the Lord, you've given your heart to Jesus, you've given your life to Jesus, we should be glad and excited at this point, because he's now in the earth, he's telling us, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And, you know, I think it's so appropriate that we're taking this book of Matthew. I'm moving fast tonight because I have something else to share. And it's so appropriate that we take the book of Matthew as though God is writing a letter directly to us. I think he's writing it to the church today because somewhere the church has learned the letter of the law, has learned a lot about God, has entered into many of the moves of God, but Jesus comes now with boots on the ground speaking to us directly, because right after that in chapter 4, when he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, the next thing we see him doing, he starts his healing ministry right away. He's in the earth, but now that's what I wanted to come back to look at chapter 5, 6, and 7, because in chapter 5, 6, and 7, he is speaking to the multitudes, but he's speaking directly to everyone when he gives us the Beatitudes. It is not something that is an option for us to follow. It is not something that we think of as ancient laws given to the Jews. But Jesus has shown up to speak to his church now that this is who I am. This is the one who died for you. This is the one who went to the cross and defeated Satan so that you will have life, and you may have it more abundantly. And so he began to tell us how to live. Now, I believe that is so key because we are at the doorway to the kingdom. Many will say we're in the kingdom, and so the kingdom of heaven has come. Repent. And I think that last part we didn't finish. Okay, because he needed us to know, turn around, come to me now, and you will see the difference in what you have been following. Well, you know, I was thinking about this today, and I was looking back at the way the church, where the church is. We're in a very good place. In a very good place, because I think the Lord has prepared us very well for his entree into the world today, into the church today. I think he is so ready to come into the church today that he needed to come to us in chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Beatitudes, because every word was preparing us how to not just understand who he is, but how to live and move in the spirit of God, and how that is the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, and how follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And so the Lord has sent. And let's just look back at where the church is now. We might think that in order for us to really understand the moves of God, that we will see the power moving. I want to talk about revival tonight. I believe revival is coming. I think he's preparing us for revival. I think it's going to be worldwide revival. It's not just going to be a church revival, because what's the difference in the church revival and worldwide revival? Yes, he's going to show up in the church. We're going to talk about that tonight in great power, and he's going to release a great power in the church. But I believe he's going to release a power. It's going to be worldwide, because there will be people who've never even known the name of God, never even been in a church, that will start coming, going someplace saying, what must I do to be saved? And they will know what they don't know. They don't know what this move is. They don't know what's over them. They don't know what's in them. They don't know what they want to know, but they know that they just need to repent. They don't know what to do, but they're going to try to find their way into the church, some church. They have heard that there's a church down on the corner, and that church, they do some crazy things down there, or there's a big church up there on the hill where people are flocking in their beautiful cars, and they flock out on Sunday morning. I don't know what's going on, but I know they say that they're Christians, and I've got to find this man called Jesus or something, because something is wrong in my life and I want to make it right. I believe that's a revival that's on the forefront for the kingdom, and the church on one hand must be preparing to move into the kingdom with God, so the kingdom of heaven is at hand, so he can make us fishers of men, okay? If we don't follow him, we can't become the fishers that he's going to need for this great revival that's coming. And do we want to be fishers for this great revival? Because in that new day, when he brings us into this place where the worldwide revival has shown up, he needs someone who knows the way of the kingdom and how to lead people in the kingdom and how to live in the kingdom. In his chapters from Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he was talking about living in the kingdom. He was talking about a heart change. He was talking about a lifestyle change. He was talking about a faith change. He was talking about a belief change. He was not talking about activating the power so people can get recognition. He was talking about walking this earth in a new place and a new way where he has come to save and to set people free. And he gives a demonstration of that when he was preaching, the first preaching ministry went into healing. And he began to speak, and they began to bring all manner of people to him, and he healed them. And then after he did that, he began to say, you know, it wasn't about the healing. But it was about the healing. He opened it up so people could know who he was, that he was God, that he had come to earth to heal and to deliver, and he could do it. And so it got their attention. Then he began to be boots on the ground to them as he began to tell them about the blessings, and he began to tell them how to live in chapters 5, 6, and 7. So I want to take a position tonight, another turn tonight. We wanted to get to chapter 8, but I believe the Lord is carrying us in Matthew, just as he wants us to walk it out in the church. I think there's going to be something we need to do to prepare for this. So the Lord has been working on his church. He has sent the prophetic word into the heart of many of his believers. They are expecting Jesus to show up, but they don't know what it's going to be like when he shows up. Some have even been told what to say, and some have even said that we know that he's already in our midst because he showed up last night and we had a great meeting and the Lord sure blessed us all last night and yesterday. And I mean, they believe that all that is supposed to happen has happened because it happened in their gathering. But that is not the world revival that's coming. Just as when God met Moses and told him, I have come down to deliver, he will apprehend someone he can trust, just as he apprehended Moses, and prepare for the Lion of Judah to come down and deliver. That one may not necessarily be a great Christian at this time. That one may not be an apostle or a prophet, may not be a leader. But this is a person, this is the movement that God is now releasing. He is crossing his hands as he did with Jacob, two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, when he crossed his hand and brought the secondborn into firstborn position. So what does the crossing of the hands mean? If you remember the story about Manasseh was firstborn to receive the right hand of the firstborn blessings, and Jacob, who was one of whom God gave the privilege to release the firstborn birthright, was led to cross his hand and give the firstborn birthright to the secondborn. Could the Lord be getting ready to cross his hand and give saints those of an unknown stature, those that are not well-known, those that don't have their name written on letterheads and on the TV and all the other places that we see the rising stars of the church. And they're wonderful. They paid a price. They got there. But God still looked beyond our faults and see our needs, and so he needs someone that he can trust. And so the Lord of necessity will apprehend someone who will walk in strict obedience to what the Lord says. That one will be the one to prepare the way for Jesus to come to the church. And when the earth was thirsty and without rain in Elijah's day, the Lord apprehended Elijah and had Elijah to prepare the rain. Now, what I'm going to say tonight, we're waiting for revival, some of us. Some of us waiting for things to change, some of us. Some of us waiting for our condition to change, that is, for the attacks on us to change. But God is waiting to prepare us for himself, for when he comes down. And it's written in 1 Kings 18, 1 and 2, and it came to pass that after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Listen, the Lord is looking to and fro throughout the earth to find someone whose heart is perfect toward him. And even though I don't think he has a matter of fact, I know he doesn't have a preference of person. Now, those of us, those people that have been walking out many revelations of God, has been ministering in the church, thank God for them. They're called to a higher level of understanding of who Jesus is at this time. Those have not gotten any recognition, nobody even know their name. They don't even know who they are because they think they don't know anything. The Lord can wake them up in the middle of the night and tell them, go tell the President of the United States, or that one running for president, or go tell this one that I say. And they say, like Moses, I can't talk. He said, I made your mouth. Go tell them. But you be very careful that you're hearing from God and it's not a puffed up thought you have for yourself. Anyway, Elijah's obedience began to move towards God, coming down to show himself strong, to move, to set aside the things that hindered the rain. Elijah heard the word of God. He heard that prophetic word that he would send the rain, but he also obeyed what God told him to do. Had he not obeyed, had he not show himself unto Ahab, God would not have moved to bring down the rain. So that's why he's looking for someone who is obedient to him, you see. Ahab was a king that had lost his stature. He had given his authority to his wife Jezebel. Elijah probably knew that had he ignored God's direction to respect Ahab's position, Elijah would have failed. Note, God does not displace authority as man. He has a way that man may not understand. And I think that's another lesson he's going to teach us when he comes in our faces, boots on the ground. So Elijah did more than continue to entreat God to send the rain. He did not stand by and wait for the rain. Elijah had to confront the enemy, which was mighty. He was one man confronting 450 prophets of Baal. That took boldness, it took faith, and willingness to be killed, believing the word of the Lord will be had. And regardless to what, when he said, show thyself to Ahab, then I'll send the rain. So the one the Lord apprehends for the task of preparing the way for the sound, of preparing the way for Jesus to come into his church, to penetrate the darkness in the church, will be a present-day Elijah. And that one will not be a present-day Elijah because he or she has been noted to be famous for doing great things. That one may be that little old lady who is set alone praying. It may be a child that God has been speaking to, and the child doesn't know what to do, but the child has been so obedient to the authorities and so different from the children of the day. So the one the Lord apprehends for the task of preparing the way for Jesus to come is one that has been very obedient. The one God is going to apprehend for this awesome task of opening the way for Jesus to come into the church must be willing to fight the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and all the ites that don't believe. and are that like the old way, and they want the old way to remain in the church. They love church. They love gathering. They love the songs. They love to sit in the same seat. They love to walk to the offering box the same way. They love walking in the church. They love walking out of the church. But let me tell you, this one that God may be willing to bring the Spirit of the Lord into the church in great power may not even know anything about church protocol. Just know that there is a place where they tell me that I can find Jesus. I can find Jesus. And I'll tell you something else. The ones sitting in the church waiting for the revival to come to them so they can teach the young people or teach the people who come in so they can be part of the church arising where people are coming from out of the street everywhere and they can show off what they have learned and what they know. They may be sorely disappointed because this is Jesus' day. This is the day that he's coming to the church in great power to bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. The one that the Lord prepares then will be an end time Elijah. And remember, the one will be the one who's willing to do what is necessary to open the way for the Lord to come down. It is written, "Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, which eat at Jezebel's table." Now, after Elijah obeyed God and gathered the Israel at Mount Carmel, he prayed a prayer of knowing faith, a faith that had grown up out of obedience and a faith that had been strengthened by sincere surrender to God. His sincere prayer of faith moved God into action and prepared the way for God to come down and show himself strong. I believe the Lord is going to be removing pride out of the church, recognition, pride in recognition, pride in spiritual position, pride in ministry. Pride, I'm not saying that judgmentally. I just believe there's going to be a stripping and there's going to be a moving away from self-motivated ministries, self-prepared ministries, and I'm not saying that judgmentally. I don't mean to say that, but this is going to be so different from what we have known, and it's going to be, I believe, it's open to any believer who is ready for it. But what is going to open this way? It's going to be a sound that God is waiting for. He's ready to come into the church, but this is going to be a sound of intercession. It's going to be a sound of repentance, and then he's going to teach us and lead us through a place of intercession so that as we enter into intercession, in high-level intercession, we will get lost in intercession, we'll get lost in repentance, so that in the being lost in repentance, we really will not have time to look down around ourselves to see whether we are successful, whether we're doing a good ministry, whether the ministry is failing. It is not about the ministry. It's not about how successful we are. It's going to be about following the Lord so closely that he will make us fishers of men. And before the Lord can come down, a new sound must arise from earth to open the way. It's a sound of intercession, saints. It is a sound of intercession. Close with the sharp edge of true repentance, waiting, expecting, and listening for the Lord. This is what the church should be doing now. The Lord is listening for that sound, though. He's listening for the sound coming up in his ears. He's waiting for the sound of intercession. But this is a different type of intercession that he's calling us to. I wrote a book once, and I always say this, and people laugh. But don't ever laugh, because I want to tell you something. It's going to change you if you read one. This book was called The Repentance and Remission of Past Sins. It's one of the most powerful books I've written because, and all of them are powerful, because in this book it talked about this type of repentance I'd never heard of before. But I believe it's the type of repentance that's going to open the way for the revival to come. See, the sound of intercessor is going to be called intercessor repentance. Now, the Lord gave me that name. I don't know if anyone else has written about it, but he explained it in that book. It's a tremendous book. We had a network in Atlanta, Georgia, where that book was the founding, was the foundation of that entire network of apostles and prophets and pastors, calling them to repentance, to forgive. There's so much unforgiveness in the church. It's buried deep in the heart. We've walked away from ministries. We've walked away from ministry leaders. We've talked about ministry leaders simply because we're angry with them because of something they didn't do, and sometimes because of something they did do. And so that needs to be forgiven. The Lord said in Matthew, when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, to forgive, that the Father in heaven will forgive you. And he did not put a disclaimer on it, you see. And so it's not what the person did or didn't do. You have no option but to forgive. And so we went into that network for 4 or 5 years, dealing with repentance from past sin and unforgiveness. And I think we dropped out of it at one point because there were places where forgiveness just wouldn't come forth. And so I believe the Lord is going to call us to a season of intercessory repentance of the believers. He wants to hear it coming up out of the earth, and the sound of this repentance for past wrongdoings and sin will open the heaven for the King to come. You see, it could happen in one day. It is written in Isaiah 66, verse 7 and 9, before she travailed, she brought forth her pain, came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who had heard such a thing, who has seen such thing, shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, says the Lord? The Lord is waiting for a sound of travail, but the church cannot manufacture that sound. Just as one does not know what will happen when Jesus shows up, the sound of intercessory repentance is a mystery. That sound will remain a mystery until God finds his people ready for him to give them the gift of repentance. The sound of intercessory repentance cannot be duplicated. It cannot be packaged. It cannot be copied. Just as no one living today heard the sounds of repentance in the Old Testament, no one really knows what to expect. In Joel, repentance is referred to as a weeping and asking. It is written, therefore also now says the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. So the Lord calls to repentance is to believers and ministry leaders, just as his call was to the people and to the priests at that time. In Joel 2:17, it says, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach. They say that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? So this specific call to repentance came from God. God had said to all to weep and mourn. He's saying the same thing to the church again. Remember in Matthew, he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That means when you mourn over your sin, you will receive comfort when you know it's forgiven. So throughout the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, God called for repentance. The scriptures reveal men of God crying out, travailing, lamenting, and praying in many ways. Their sound cannot be replicated. This is not the sound of repentance. This is why the sound of repentance, which must come from the believer, is a mystery. This sound is a gift from God, given because of the goodness of God. It is written in Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God bringeth forth repentance? Now, you might wonder, where did I get off on this in the book of Matthew? Well, I believe that the Lord was preparing us for his entree into the world. If we look at Matthew and we see him, and I really want to get there, but I'm going to let it stay there for a little while. As we look at the book of at chapter 8 in Matthew, we see Jesus really as boots on the ground, going from place to place. He's not teaching now. He's actively doing the work of the kingdom. And I think it's a lesson for us, but he prepared us through chapters 5, 6, and 7. So now he is prepared, he wants us to prepare ourselves through intercessory repentance. You see, when the cry of intercessory repentance flows out of the truly repentant heart, a one whose heart has touched the heart of God over his or her sin, that sound will shatter the sound barrier that holds back our King. That cry of intercessory repentance will open the way for Jesus to come and invade his church. God wants that repentance to come soon because he's ready to release Jesus, his son, into the church to fulfill what he died for. It is time for intercessors and every born-again believer to accept the call to open the way for the King to come, to open the way by releasing the sound of intercessory repentance from the earth. Before that sound of intercessory repentance can be released, the church must understand their condition and know what to do about their condition. The church, that is, every believer, okay, when we say the church, is called to repent. In Acts 8:22-23, it says, "Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart," come on, "the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." I had a fleeting thought tonight walking through getting ready for this meeting. I said, what would happen if I'm in heaven and all of those people who have ought against me because I didn't do this right or I didn't do this for them, I wasn't there for them and all that, and they stopped wanting to have any fellowship with me, and all of a sudden we're in the room and Jesus is in the center and they're there, and I'm wondering whether, and Jesus is looking right at their heart, or maybe they won't even make it there, and I'm wondering how will they relate to me in this setting since Jesus is there, and they are in the earth with all this anger and bitterness and pent-up unforgiveness against me right now. Well, if you are any type of leader in the church, and you pastors may understand what I'm saying. And so I believe the Lord is calling us to that type of repentance now, because in our church he can't really penetrate the darkness that's there. He can't come down because within the church there's so much in the hearts of the people, so much unforgiveness, so much judgment, so much criticism, so much anger, and so much. And see, what we don't know is we don't put a picture on it because we just have this thought in our heart that she didn't do it right. She should have been there for me. She wasn't there for me, and I needed her, and she's this kind of person, and he's this kind of person, and he's that type of person, and I'm not angry. I just won't go back there. I don't want to have anything to do. I just won't do it. And it's there in the middle of their heart, a dark spot that Jesus wants to put his finger on and says, when you stand praying, if you have ought against any, to forgive, that the Father in heaven will forgive you your trespasses. But remember, repentance is a gift of God, and the gift must be somewhat received, not something for which one works. If one works for the gift, it's not a gift. So obtain the gift of repentance. One needs God's mercy that is freely given because of one's condition of helplessness and hopelessness. And you see, we can't do the work of the ministry or do the work of repentance because in order to repent, we have to come in close to the Lord. And not a little closer, as my member said, God told her, but close. And when we come in close, I could see her sitting in this mansion. I'm going to have a mansion up there. And Jesus is sitting on the throne. And my enemies on the earth, who's angry with me, are there too. And so when that happens, I don't believe they're going to make it there because we have to work the anger out of them before they get there. But if they can carry it on earth, what is it going to be like in the heavens, you see? And so if you want the gift of repentance, you have to come in close. You know, I'm going to recommend, if you really are a leader of God and if you really are a believer, if you really don't know God that well, send for my little book on repentance, a past sin. It will really change your opinion about repentance because in that book I treated repentance from every angle. I treated it from the weeping in the morning, but I treated it from other aspects. so that you can see the needs that you have. There's a whole chapter in that book on intercessory repentance that I'd like for you to read. And you can do that by calling our office at 262-473-7472. That is the Sanctuary of the Firstborn office, 262-473-7472. So I want to finish this tonight in talking about intercessory repentance. Remember, it is God's grace freely given that releases the spirit of repentance. And one's true repentance touches the heart of God to forgive past sins when God uncovers the sin. So God will not uncover the sin unless you come in close. So you say, what does this have to do with Matthew? It has everything to do with Matthew. Because Matthew 5, 6 and 7, Jesus is in the earth. He found him a place that he could teach his people how the kingdom life is. You know, he talks about the kingdom, and he ministers the kingdom. So we have had the talks about the prophetic, about what God will do, about our financial needs being met, about our family being saved. We've had the talks. We've seen small and sometimes large movements in those areas. But the Lord wants to come down like an eagle into the church. He wants to come down and cover the church with his wings. He wants to come down and be boots on the ground in the church to drive the enemy out. But I believe he's calling forth intercessors, and the intercessors begin by coming into the place with him that they can receive the ministry of intercessory repentance. Now, so how is this ministry of intercessory repentance to be carried out? Let me just talk about that just a minute. I think I got enough time to talk about that. Carried out with a strategy that will open the way for the Lord to be released. First, the one wanting and hungering to open the way for Jesus to come must begin to cry out for the Lord to give him or her the gift of repentance for his or her own sin. Now, listen at that. Oh, I'm so grateful that Jesus is a merciful God. We need to, you know, we're not working for it. We're crying out to the Lord to give us this gift, this special gift of repentance for my own sin. That one will ask God to shine a light of truth upon what that one needs to see as God sees for repentance for self. Okay? Then that one will ask God for God's spirit of conviction and his spirit of repentance. And once that has happened, that one may find him or herself waiting for God to answer. God may not answer right away, but in your heart, and that's what I'm walking with, I'm carrying it in my heart throughout the day. My heart is open to God. I need that gift of repentance. I need that gift of repentance because, you see, the gift comes from God. Now, there's something else. We call it intercessory repentance because as you're going to have to intercede for God to open it up to you. You're going to have to go in travail just like you're interceding for something special, but you're asking him for something he wants to give, the gift of repentance. So when God answers the cry for repentance and repentance has been measured out fully, one will begin. Now listen to this, and I wrote this several years ago, and it's also written up in my, there's another book you might want, and I think everyone should have this one. It is called The New Sound of Zion, A Photogenic View of the End Time Zion, The City of God, The Dwelling Place of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And I write about this new sound and the opening the way for the Lord to come. So when God answers this cry, one will begin to ask the Lord for repentance for the church. Now that you've repented for yourself, oh, Father, let us receive that spirit of repentance even tonight. Many listening as they go to bed, as they get up in the morning, as they get out of their house, as they sit in their house, let there be a spirit upon us. Even that, will you bring this to an end in one day? Maybe not. It may be 1 month. It may be 1 week. It may be 1 year before the depth of repentance come. But, Lord, open the way tonight that spirit of repentance will fall, that gift of repentance will fall upon us, you see. And so because once it falls upon us, it will change us from the inside out. All pride will fall to the ground. And we don't really know how deep the root of pride grows unless you've read my book. If you read my book on battling for a soul, where you see that very essence of pride is Satan personified. But when you see that, you can't do anything with it. That's why you got to seek God for the gift of repentance. And once you receive the gift of repentance and you receive it and you repent of your own sin and holy fear, then, listen to this, one will then get lost in repenting for the church and for the body of Christ. When that happens, what happens? We will no longer judge the church. We'll no longer run away from the church. We'll no longer hide from the church. We will be sent to the church by God, and we will be in the midst of the church. And we will not be repenting with pride because they are bad and we're good. No, he will put repentance in our heart with such deep love for the church that we want the church to rise up out of its miry clay and become the triumphant church that Jesus died for. And it's not about the people. It's not about the leader. We're not blaming anyone. We are fighting the enemy. You see, and so once we have done that, one will then get the lost in repentance for the church and the body of Christ, and so much that there will be nothing left for them to think about except just repenting. And when that repentance has reached its full measure, the seeking soul will begin all over seeking and receiving the gift of repentance for the world. Is this what the Lord is going to need us to do for revival to come, for worldwide revival to come? Will he apprehend just a few that will don their intercessory prayer veils and begin to go into intercession and begin to travail before the Lord? And as they travail, if you don't understand travailing, I'm going to talk about that at the end of this last thought here. As one gets lost in repentance, that one will forget self and the selfish desire to receive all the gifts of God. The only desire is forgiveness of sins. Come on. It is then that true repentance has run its course. That one will pay the price, or have paid the price of intercessory repentance to release the King to come to the church. We don't know who is going to do that. Is it going to be worship leaders? Worship leaders definitely need it. I recommend my book on the New Sound of Zion for every worship leader. Will it be the singers? I recommend it for the singers. Will it be the musicians? I recommend it for the musicians. One may think intercessory repentance is not for him or her, but all and any must pay this price to release the King to come to the church. So what I'm saying is, I believe Jesus is boots on the ground in the spirit to us to prepare us for his coming. But before he comes, there needs to be true intercessors that have died out to everything, given their life so that they can open the way for the King to come. It is not about ministry, but it is about ministry. As the Lord gets ready to invade the church, he's not having only those who have proclaimed the ministry. This move of God may be ushered in by anyone. One may never have been in church, never played an instrument. One may never have sang a note, never have done anything of note in the church. But that one may be the one to open the way for the King to come, because Jesus wants to come back to his church. And when he comes back, the main call, I believe, before we get to chapter 8 in Matthew, having been well taught, the Lord wants our heart to raise up toward him and say yes to the ministry of intercession. Now, let me just mention, I've written it all over many of my books, and I've always mentioned it. If you choose that this is your desire, the first thing you're going to come to the Lord and commit to the ministry of intercession. When you commit your life for the ministry of intercession, you die out to every other desire. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to be shut away in some room somewhere, praying in the dark night and day, and not interfacing with people. You may have a great ministry. I have a pastor friend. She's more than a friend. She's been with me for years. She's overseer Carolyn Fair, and her sister just started church in Chicago, Rose of Sharon. And we when we get together, we've been together 30 years, I imagine, and in the ministry in one way or another. But I just used to love to hear her talk about the prayer life of her father, how he prayed every one of the children into the kingdom, how he gave up everything for prayer, how he prayed night and day, how he'd come home from work and he'd go to his prayer room before he'd eat dinner. They'd get up in the morning, and Pastor Fair was talking about how she could hear them moaning and groaning, what she thought as a child, but evidently they were just praying in the spirit before the Lord. But he had a ministry. He had a church where people would walk into the church drunk and get saved and come out sober. Where people would, there would be crutches on the wall long before it became a television thing. There would be people who she would remember, people would sit in church listening to him and garters would drop off of them. But he had travail. Let me talk about this travailing spirit. Travailing is different from just praying, and it's not crying a phony prayer. When you think about travailing, it's like giving birth. If a woman wants to give and is ready to bring forth this child, when she gets to the place that is really so much a part of her that she wants to get rid of, all she wants is this child to come. And when that child begins to come, her body begins to move things out of the place to open the way for this new life. Pain comes. Because every muscle surrounding that birth, the body, has to be positioned to move, and it causes great pain. Well, when we travail, we are pressing against the darkness of heaven to open the way for the King to come. We're pushing demonic forces out the way. We're cutting a trail through darkened areas, places where demonic spirits have been hiding out for years, lies, deceits, and all those things, angers and bitterness, the python spirit which squeezes everything out. We're moving them. We're finding the roots of them. We're travailing. When Zion travail, then new birth comes. And that's what he's calling us. But the intercessor must prepare. So first you prepare by making this commitment to God to be his intercessor. You don't just walk into that role. You have to come in covenant with him to be his intercessor. Because in covenant with him, it's not about you. It's not what you do. The enemy knows who you are. You have a covenant partner who already defeated him. And when he says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men, you're following that covenant partner, and he's there with you. Follow him so closely that the diablo can't come near. And then once you do that, as you make that covenant, what the Lord is going to do next, he's going to bring you into healing and deliverance, because he's not going to let you go on the battlefield with anything in you that the enemy can use. So he takes you to a place of healing, a place of deliverance, and that's why he heals and delivers. He doesn't just heal and deliver because we got these things in our lives we want out so we can feel good. You have made a covenant to fulfill a purpose that he has in his heart for you. Now he must heal you inside and out. He must deliver you out of the hands of the enemy. He must cleanse the corrupt nature. He must finish a work in you that the Spirit of the Lord can come in and go into the heavens and wash out all the roads that have been that need to be a clear path for Jesus to come. You have to be able to go in the stratosphere where Satan lives, and he cannot touch you, because in this first level, he has healed you, he has delivered you in ground level, and there's nothing that Satan can use against you as you travel through in your travail. You're moving the enemy out of his nest. You're moving him from stopping Jesus from coming into the church. And so then the next thing, there were three steps. First, you make the commitment. Next, you allow him to finish his work in you and out by healing and deliverance. And the last one, then you bring forth that baby, that birthing. What is the birthing? Open the way for Jesus to come. The canals must be open. The birth canal must be open for him to come. And he's waiting for the sound of intercessory repentance. And when the baby is coming, you may be in labor through 5 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours, 6 hours. I mean, sometimes it takes a long time. I think with my first child, and I've had many, I've had three who died early, and then I have two living, so I've had five. And when that time for that baby to come, then that's when the critical hour in the delivery room takes place. The pain becomes more intense. But something happens to the one who's delivering. You're no longer concerned about anything around you. You don't care who sees what. You are about the business of birthing, of bringing this baby forth, because it has to come. It can't stay. And all of a sudden, everything in your body says it must come. When you go into travail, you get so into the depths of travail till nothing around you matters. Nothing around you will stop you. You are about opening the way for the king to come. Oh, if the church would get that. Can't you see that brings revival? Can you see it is not, you're not proud enough. When you're at that last stage of birth, you're not covering up with beautiful comforters and even a blanket so that no one can see what's going on. You don't care what they see. You just want to open the way for that baby to come. And when that intercessor gets there, I wrote in one of my books, I think it's in Adonai, where it said, and when you have joined that yourself to the Lord for this type of ministry, then as soon as that baby is birthed, then you will conceive again. And you carry that one, letting the Spirit of the Lord move upon it and move upon it as you pray over this call that God has put in your heart. It has little to do with people. It has nothing to do with people. It has to do with his church. It has to do with him. And as you pray about wanting this ministry to come forth, and then it begins to grow in you and begin to grow, and then one day the travail hits you, and there's a cry that goes up to heaven, because you see that if you've gone through the intercessory repentance, God can have you to conceive, carry this for months, bring it forth, then he'll give you to conceive again, because you're now his intercessor. I did not say to those of you who are ministry-oriented that you won't have ministry with that. Oh, you'll have a great ministry. I won't say that this will not be a public ministry. It will sometime, maybe. It'll not be a teaching ministry. It may be a teaching ministry. It's something you can't teach. There's some things you can't teach because people can't learn it. They have to enter into it. But I believe when Jesus came with boots on the ground in Matthew, before we get to Matthew 8, he had prepared us to get ready to open the way for him to come. You're going to see in Matthew 8, you're going to see him healing. You're going to see him. He is literally now not teaching, but he is doing. First, he heals a leper. Then he heals a centurion servant. Then he heals Peter's mother-in-law. Then he calms the winds and the sea. Then he heals the devil, the one that was possessed with devil. You see, he's in the church. This is what he wants to do to the church. That's why he calls us to this place of intercessory repentance now, so we can then be the ones to open the way for him to come. When he comes in, and it says at the end of chapter 7, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them. So he had taught them well. I think we have been so well taught. Then the first verse in chapter 8 says, and when he was come down from the mountain, multitude followed him. And that's when he began to work. In our church, in your church, not just your life, in the church where we live, where we move, where we have our lives, when Jesus comes in and he calls us first to open the way for him to come. In intercessory repentance, he will take us through, again, in our personal lives, chapter 5, 6, and 7, where he taught about the Beatitudes, where he taught when you stand praying. He taught about adultery. He taught about giving. He taught about prayer. See, he will be walking back in our lives, showing us we need to repent. We haven't lived up to his desires for us to live a holy life. So as he walks us through chapter 5, 6, and 7, in this time of repentance, verses will pop up at us, and it will convict us, and verses will pop up. When you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive. He may spend days carrying us back, showing us aught against any. That's when he, through intercessory repentance, we have intercede, that he will show us ourselves as he sees us. And then once we do that, it has reached its full measure. Don't know how long it's going to take. It will take longer for some than others. But once it's reached its full measure, then Jesus comes on the scene. And we see him doing that in 8, where he comes in. He's the one that's healing. He comes in. He heals the centurion's servant from a distance. He comes in. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. She gets up and fixes some food. He goes on. He heals the one that's possessed with devils. Really an impossible job. But that's what he wants to do for his church. When he shows up in the church, we will not spend hours bringing a person through deliverance. We will not spend hours preaching a message hoping that people get it so that they will walk into it and obey it. He comes in and he demonstrates the kingdom. Don't you want that? I want it. So tonight we pray that God by his Spirit will wake up in each of us that desire to cry out for repentance, that desire to make a covenant that I want to be his intercessor. I want to join to him to be an intercessor. Because as I join to him to be an intercessor, he's the one that's going to work intercession through me. He's the one that's going to carry me into these places in my own life where he'll bring repentance. He's the one that's going to shine light in dark areas of my own life, my actions. Father, we call on your name tonight. We need the gift of repentance. We need you, Lord. We covenant with you to be the intercessors to open the way for the king to come. And then, Lord, as we covenant for that, oh, Father, we know that as you begin to show us through intercession the place where we need to repent, you will show us where the healing comes. You see, we will not be looking to you for healing of our broken heart. We're repenting of a sin, because behind every pain, it's our sin. It's a sin. So as we begin to repent, healing will come. Deliverance will come. It will not be because we're going to for someone to pray for deliverance or to pray for healing. We're repenting, and as we repent of a sin, the healing flows into that place. As we repent of something where a demonic spirit has been influencing us there, it will be cut off. So we're not going in for deliverance so that we can be delivered. We're repenting of sin, so we because of that, the spirit of deliverance come in as we repent. And then you will have us to go into that travail then. See, that's when we're carrying the baby and it's growing in us. But then we go into that place of travail because it's now time for the baby to come. And that baby is baby Jesus. But he's not coming on as baby Jesus. He's coming in as a roaring lion. He's coming on the scene as a lion of the tribe of Judah. And as we give that last push in travailing, sometime it may last for a period. Sometime it may be a long period. Sometime it may be one great period. When we give that last push, the Spirit of the Lord will show up in the church and begin to heal and begin to deliver and begin to set free and begin to establish. So, Father, we pray tonight for that Spirit, that gift of repentance. We pray that you will don't pass us by. Let us, those that think that we don't need it, those that think that they don't need it, think that they're all right, think that they've gotten this great move of God in their lives, think that they have had these great things, revelations. Lord, bring them to this place, to the doorway to the kingdom. The doorway is it the doorway of intercessory repentance. Forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let everyone tonight hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church, and let them listen very carefully to what he's saying to you. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, I thank you for giving us this opportunity. And I want to say to the listeners tonight, I want you to know that that was a message from my heart, and I would truly so appreciate it if you would say, I want to become that intercessor. I want to break the back of Satan and take even my family members one by one. And so, you know, I'm ready to move on to chapter 8. But, you know, it came to me, and I think I'm going to do this if the Lord lets me. I have been, over the years, making very strong prayers, powerful prayers. Many I put on CD. Many of them surround things. Maybe what I will do in the next 4 or 5 meetings, maybe I'll just pray. Maybe I'll do some warfare praying. Maybe I'll do some praying that will break the back of Satan. Maybe I will be praying us into place, you see. And then praying, I'll pray about different things. We'll break through. And as I'm interceding and with the word of God, I don't know where you will be, but I'll intercede and on finances. Because sometimes you have to call the enemy off of different things to get people's attention. So maybe you're having a financial struggle, and I will fight the enemy on intercession and warfare prayers for intercession. Maybe you're stuck in a place because you're waiting for your children to come out. I'll do some interceding for family intercession. And then maybe you're like us, working to cleanse your territory. I'll do some work for cleansing the territory. I'll pray against Satan and do some very warfare prayers against the enemy. And so maybe I'll do that. But while I'm doing it, in the next 4 or 5 meetings on this program, it is to give you chance to become the intercessor, to commit to intercession. I will give you a chance to allow the Lord to heal you inside and out by getting those sins. Maybe, you see, a gift is not to be worked for. So as I'm praying these prayers on the air and you're listening, I'll be believing that the Lord will be working those things, those sins out, so that the healing and the deliverance will come. And that once that happens, then he will put you on the road to interceding for him to open the way for him to come. I bless you tonight in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I bless you and thank those of you that are listening, those that may listen by pulling this up. We honor you and we thank you so much for taking time out just to listen. We will be back with you on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. We do Sunday evening and Wednesday evening. I'm not sure we'll be in this studio, but the Lord will bring us across the miles wherever you are. Prepare yourself because we're going someplace. Don't know where we're going, but we're following Jesus so that he can make us fishers of men. And I thank you for listening. So I'm going to say good night, and may the Lord bless you and be back with you Sunday evening, same time, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Good night.